podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey newsrooms across the country. I'm Christy Strausser, Odyssey's managing editor of news. Travel season is upon us. So, what are we expecting this year? Here's AAA with its travel predictions for summer 2026 with WWJ in Detroit.
AAA Michigan's Adrienne Woodland, what are we expecting for Memorial Day travel?
Yeah, so we're expecting it to be a busy travel weekend. AAA is forecasting more than 1.3 million Michiganders will travel at least 50 miles or more away from home this Memorial Day weekend. And that's the second highest on record. And it's more than what we saw last year. But one note to make, we're definitely seeing the increases from year to year slow down. And this is actually the smallest year-over-year increase that we've seen in about a decade.
And do you think that's because of higher gas prices?
Yeah, although travel remains strong, higher fuel prices and persistent inflation may cause some travelers to shorten trips, delay plans, or stay closer to home.
How are most people traveling?
So, of course, the majority of those folks, nearly 1.2 million of them, are expected to drive to their destination. With another 70,000 will fly, and more than 68,000 will travel by other modes, which includes bus, train, or cruise.
And what are going to be the busiest times for holiday travel?
So definitely some of the busiest times on the roadways will be Friday between 11 a.m. and 8 p.m., and then Saturday between 12 p.m. and 5 p.m. And then, of course, on the return trip, Monday, May 25th, between 12 noon and 5 p.m. will be the busiest. So if you're returning, if you can hit the road before 10 a.m., you may miss some of the heavier traffic.
Memorial Day is a little earlier this year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually on May 25th, so it is a little bit earlier in the month this year.
And are more people traveling, you know, by bus and train?
So, yeah, that's actually the one area where we've seen our total travel. We saw a little less than a half percentage point increase from last year. Auto, we literally saw a 0.2% increase from last year. Air, we're actually seeing a slight decrease from last year, but is the other travel, bus, train, and cruise, where we're seeing a 5% increase compared to last year.
So where's everybody going?
Well, some of the top destinations, and of course, these are according to AAA Travel Bookings, and these looks at bookings across the country. The number one domestic destination is Orlando, Florida, followed by Seattle, Washington, New York City, Las Vegas, and then Miami, Florida rounds out the top five.
And what about, is there much international travel for Memorial Day?
So yeah, when it comes to AAA travel bookings for Memorial Day internationally, the top destination is Rome, Italy, followed by Vancouver, Canada, Paris, France, London, England, and then Athens, Greece rounds out the top five for international travel.
In terms of, you know, we talked about the worst time to travel, what are some of the best times that you should travel if you're driving?
So if you're driving on that Friday, if you can get out before 11 a.m., you can miss some of the heavier traffic. And it's the same for Saturday, May 23rd, if you can get out before 11 a.m. And actually, that Sunday, May 24th, there's minimal traffic impact expected that day. So if you want to either, you know, leave early from the destination and come back that Sunday, you can beat some of the heavier traffic for sure.
And any tips to keep your fuel costs lower?
So there's a lot of different things that drivers can do. One of the things is definitely shop around your community for cheap gas. Also, for traveling, you want to plan out your trip. So AAA has a free AAA mobile app that can help you find gas prices around your community, across the state, and across the country. This is a great tool to use if you're doing a road trip, particularly an interstate road trip, because it can kind of show you where you should and shouldn't fill up, again, where you may find some of your lower gas prices.
All right. Anything you want to add?
Just to those that are driving, you can make sure that you get a pre-trip inspection to make sure that things like your tires, your brakes, your engine oil, all of that is good before you hit the roadway. And also while you're out there, just make sure to remember to slow down and move over for emergency vehicles, first responders, and anyone that's stuck on the side of the roadway.
And when it comes to summer vacations in the digital age, how much should you expect and demand to actually unplug? Here's Adam and Jordana at WCCO in Minneapolis.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
I think responding to an email while on vacation, a work email, I think you are obligated to do that.
You're 1,000% incorrect. You are not. That's the whole point of vacation. You're not responsible for responding to work emails. No, you don't have to do that. And I hope even our boss would agree.
Yeah.
We might have to ask him.
I bet he would. This is a slippery slope I'm going down. I'm not saying that you continuously have to be plugged in and joining meetings or a series of emails. I'm just saying if I get an email while I'm on vacation,
right. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm obligated to at least check my emails just to scroll them. And if somebody is asking me a question that it can be answered in a quick response, I think I'm obligated to do that. We live in a connected world now. And unless you are in Antarctica on a mission, like on a away from society altogether, if I'm connected, I think just a simple response is expected.
How often do you check email on vacation? Are you
not
alleging
every day.
Okay that we should check it every day? Okay, or multiple times a day?
No.
Okay.
And I would even say not. You don't need. I don't want to create rules here, but no, I'm not checking it every day. But okay. While I'm on this long vacation, every other day, I'm sitting there because we do it at home. So when we have downtime, even on our vacation, I'm just going to check my work email.
Mm-hmm.
And if I see a work email where somebody's asking me a question and I have the ability just to take 3 seconds of my time and respond and say, I don't think I can say, well, I'm on vacation. I'm totally going silent on you. I'm not going to answer that.
Okay, then, because the word, I think, obligation is throwing me.
Yeah,
the word obligation is throwing me.
Right.
So then if you send me an email and say, like, hey, Jordan, you have the name of this contact. We want to book him on the show this week. But I am on vacation. Would you be annoyed that I did not get back to you because it was a little bit time sensitive? You wanted to book that guest?
I'll be honest. It would kind of be annoying.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And thank you for your honesty.
Right. But at the same time,
I would feel the same way.
Right. But at the same time, it's like, well, she is on vacation.
Correct.
Which is the same way when you texted me saying, hey, will you jump on the show? And I was actually shocked it didn't come till Friday. Because I just assumed that David would say, hey, you want to jump on the show today?
Well, I wanted you to be on
vacation.
And
honestly, I was kind of struggling. Like, should I, like, I'm on vacation. I should have the right to say, you know, I'm just going to pass.
You could have, absolutely. And had you said, like, hey, the timing doesn't work. We're taking a tour. I'd be like, no problem.
Yeah. But at the same time, though, you sent me that text, you know, it's 5 minutes out of my day to step outside and talk to Jor on the phone because we're a team and it's the show. So, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I'm not asking for praise or low.
No, no.
But at the same time, but that's my guilt. That's totally me saying, yes, I know I have a right to say, Jor, thank you, but I'm having a great time.
I think
I'm going to pass. I'd feel awful about that. I'd be like, oh, okay. She's going to look at me like, oh, what a jerk.
I know, but if you lied and said, hey, Jen and I, because who knows what the time difference is? I don't do math. But like if you lied and said, Jen and I have the tour of the Guinness factory at that time, I really can't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a 3-hour show, so I'd be like, oh, great. Could you do 11:30 or not? I mean,
I thought about it. I said, well, you know, I could say we're on a tour right now.
Right. You could have. And I wouldn't have been mad. I would have been like, okay, no problem. You know, again, it is your vacation. And by the way, that is why I didn't text you until Friday.
Yeah.
Because I wanted you to be on vacation because I have had vacations where every night, like if I'm overseas, like I've called in to the show because you guys are 8 hours behind or whatever, and sort of given you an update of the day.
Yeah.
And
that's a lot
puts
of work.
A damper.
No, you don't want to do that.
You're probably a good worker bee if you are somewhat engaged and just like checking, you know, and if something is super time sensitive, yeah, you can take 5 minutes out of your day. Email is so easy. You don't have to call in.
Correct.
You don't have to set a meeting.
Yep.
You don't have to show up to stuff or like, you know, virtually, but shooting an email like, hey, here's this person's contact information.
Yeah.
I find that now when I do go on vacation, that I do take like 10, 15 minutes kind of in the afternoon to check email.
Mm-hmm.
And just we only because not because I feel an obligation to work, but because I
fall behind.
I don't want 1,000 emails when
yes.
I get back, because then I'm going to be annoyed. I'm just going to be deleting stuff and I might miss something.
Right.
But if I take 10 minutes every day to go through my email and just sort of delete what I don't need, star what I do, that helps me for reentry.
Totally.
When you get back
totally.
And you're not so stressed out.
Do you have five minutes to talk? Oh, is there anything worse than getting that text?
The worst. You're definitely getting fired when you get that text. Let's get to some of these texts here. Guys, you're wrong. Just because I have a tool doesn't mean I have to use it unless I'm a total doormat or a suck up.
See, that's one end of the spectrum, and the other end of the spectrum is the person who thinks like I should be able to call and text you all the time. That's not what I'm saying, nor am I. But
no.
I think if you are a person who totally detaches and says, and I'm like really need something, or just text you to say, hey, do you have this number? Or, man, I know you're on vacation. But there's something that I have to get a hold of this person. Do you have this or that? That if you just ignore that, I think you're not that great of an employee either.
My standard for my salaried employees is to periodically check emails if it's a normal day off in the week. If they're on vacation, they do not have to check. Okay, so this is a boss. Okay, fair enough.
Whether you go out of town or not, a vacation is a luxury, and it's one that the federal government says you don't deserve if you owe child support. Here's more on that with Adam and Jordana.
The U.S. will start revoking passports for tens of thousands of parents who owe child support. And I say, good on ya. It used to be that if you owed $100,000 or more, that there would be a revocation of your passport. But now the U.S. State Department is saying we are expanding that, and the revocation program for passports will now cover parents who owe more than $2,500 in child support. Okay, that's a much lower threshold and would encompass a lot more people. In fact, the U.S. State Department says about 2,700 American passport holders are currently in violation, and they would be affected. So this is an expansion for about 2,700 more Americans. But you know what? I'm going to go one step further. Not just passports. You should lose other privileges if you are not paying your child support, because that child can't go out and work and get a job. I'm not saying revoke your driver's license, because you may need that driver's license to go get your job. But honestly, we should be garnishing your wages. And also, if for some reason we can't do that, your only privilege, your only right should be to work until your child support is paid. So if you say you can't pay the rent, that's fine. You stay in the jail and you go to work every day and you come home and you sleep in the jail, and the money that you make should go toward paying your child support. I am so done with deadbeat parents, and I fully support the State Department's expansion of this program to revoke at least the passports of deadbeat parents. What say you?
You are absolutely wrong.
See?
Because this is something we learn from very early on in parenthood, that the punishment should match the crime. If your child does something, commits a crime, does something naughty, this is something we learn. You learn in ECFE. Mm-hmm. The punishment comes right away and needs to be something that's related to the offense, right? If they leave their toy outside, you then take that toy away from them. Mm-hmm. Like, it is related to the crime.
I agree.
Unless there is extenuating circumstances that makes you think this person is going to flee the country and take all their money or something like that, which if that's true, you know, if this is somebody that's got rich family in Europe and you think they're going to, like, you know, the judge thinks they're going to skip town and never pay again, then sure, you can revoke a passport. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I think the crime is a financial crime of not paying your child support. I don't know if crime is the right word, but the offense is a financial offense. Mm-hmm. So the punishment should be financial, which is why you garnish wages. You put a lien on the person's property. You take financial action against the person to get them to pay.
But also, travel is a luxury. And if you have the money to travel out of the country, then you have the money to pay for your kids' shoes or their school lunches or their health insurance. And I think that you don't need to travel outside of the country to work. You don't need to travel outside of the country. And even if you say, oh, well, I'm going to the funeral of a relative overseas, that's also a luxury. Paying your kids' child support is more important than attending a funeral of your dead aunt in Europe.
If you do have the luxury of traveling overseas, there are steps you should take to stay safe. Here's Noon Business Hour in Chicago.
Amid rising global tensions, the U.S. is urging travel caution abroad. And experts say preparation, awareness, and smart habits are the key to staying safe overseas. Joining us with some need-to-know tips is Mark Wolters, Wolters World Travel and Culture. And if you are taking an overseas trip, Mark, it all begins with doing your own homework.
Yeah, I think research is the biggest thing. Whether you're watching videos on YouTube or you're reading blogs, you're talking to your friends that have traveled these destinations, have a feel for the places you're going to go beforehand so you know the places not to go or when you should be out or you shouldn't be out, because that can make a big difference, because what's nice during the day might not be nice at night.
And what are some good resources that can give you good, honest information about what's safe and not safe and whatever your destination city is? Because I don't know about you, Mark, but if you spend 5 minutes on social media, you can have everyone will tell you that literally every town over the population of three is where you take your life into your own hands.
Yeah, and the thing is, you got to take everything with a grain of salt, because people will put the worst of the worst out there to, like, get the clicks. But then the other side, they'll say the best of the best, and you need to have a nice balance. One thing I always like to do, if you go to the State Department, they actually have it where you can go and look up each country where you're going to go to, and it'll give you if there's travel warnings there or they'll have their threat warnings. So you have some idea of the things you should look out for. So if you know, if this is more of a, you know, drug-related thing or a gang-related thing, or is this things where they're targeting tourists, that can give you kind of an objective outlook on things. So I think that's very important. Also, if you are looking at videos, watch the newest ones that are out there, or you're looking at blogs that are newer with people that actually went there. Because a lot of things that people are just taking stuff from online and putting it together, and they actually don't have the real experience there. So you want to get stuff from people that have actually been to those countries.
And then if you are traveling by car or by motorbike, be sure to wear that seatbelt and that helmet.
Yeah, actually, the number one cause of death of Americans abroad that's not like a health cause, like a heart attack, is actually car accidents. And that's why, I mean, you'll get into taxis in certain countries and you'll put your seatbelt on and the driver will look at you like they're insulted that you're putting your seatbelt on. It doesn't matter. Always put your seatbelt on. If you're going to rent that moped in Italy or in Vietnam, get the helmet and wear the helmet and make sure it fits on you. And if you have someone riding with you, make sure everybody has that safety gear, because I've seen some really horrible things in my life when it comes to traveling around the world. And that's one of those big things of the cars. But also when you're crossing the street, you're going to the UK, you're going to Ireland, you're going to Japan, they drive on the other side of the road and you're used to looking left first and you step out on the road, you need to look right. I've seen multiple people in my travels die because of that. So it's really important you pay attention when it comes to vehicles.
And also it's pay attention to what you wear when you are abroad.
Yeah, because what you wear can actually signal where you're from. And it can kind of be like a sign. Like my friend Andy likes to say, if you're wearing your college gear, if you're a study abroad student, you're wearing your college gear when you're abroad, it's almost like you're wearing a sign, rob me. You want to fit in better. And if you're not sure what to wear, one of the best souvenirs you can get is clothing when you go abroad. You can buy some clothes. You'll fit in like a local when you're there. And then when you come home, you got a cool new outfit that's a souvenir.
And also when it comes to doing your homework on what to wear or what not to wear abroad, is be very cognizant of sports rivalries, because in Chicago, the Cubs and White Sox rivalry may result in you buying dinner for a relative or friend as a friendly wager after the Crosstown Classic. But some of those soccer or football rivalries tend to get pretty rough and tumble, especially in Europe.
Oh, yeah, in Europe, South America. I know if you go to Buenos Aires, I used to live down there, and when it would be the big local derby, like my friends that live near the stadiums, they would literally board up the windows of their houses and leave for the weekend because it could get that rowdy. So though it would be cool to go one of these, you know, Boca versus River in Buenos Aires, you really have to think about your safety. And if you're wearing the wrong jersey at the wrong time, that can get you a lot of trouble. And even if you're not going to a game, some places don't recommend you wear any jerseys when you go around because you never know who might not like that team that you picked up a jersey for.
And then lastly, it doesn't hurt to ask around once you're there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this one thing is your hotel. They do not want anything to happen to you. And so what I do when I go, and I do this all over the world, I'll say, hey, you know, we're thinking about going to this place around town. Is there anything we need to be worried about? Is this okay to be here? And they'll tell you, maybe leave that one beforehand. Like we were going to La Boca in Buenos Aires, and they're like, yeah, it's great during the day, but, you know, maybe do dinner in this other neighborhood instead. Like get out of there by, you know, sunset. Because they're going to tell you the truth that's out there. And sometimes they don't post those things online, but they will tell you in person. So don't be afraid to ask the front desk, hey, is there something I should watch out for? Or if you meet like a friendly local when you're out for dinner, they'll gladly share some tips with you too.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey. On Deadline is written and produced by me, Christy Strasser, and by Lauren Berry. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.